Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Grace is God's unmerited favor toward us. As parents, we need a lot of grace to survive the trying years of raising kids. Today, how the grace of God can overcome our imperfections as moms and dads and work in the lives of our precious children despite us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer comes again to speak on children, God's special gift.
I was sharing with someone recently who was involved in moral failure, and I read to him from Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He heard my cry, and he delivered me from the miry pit. I think my translation says from the miry bog. In the deepest pit, God's been able to reach and deliver. There's a woman at prayer meeting whose name I will not mention. She's an elderly lady, but she is there every single Wednesday to pray. So I asked her last week, I said, how many years have you been coming? And she said, ever since I came to the church 20 years ago. And she's been praying for a son. And she has been praying consistently, not just 20 years, but even before that time. And God has given her the assurance that someday her son will believe the gospel and be saved. No disobedience is fatal, because grace works in unexpected ways. Thirdly, the grace of God often makes up for all kinds of human failure and sins. None of us is a perfect parent. I look back and wish that I could relive some of my days as a parent. My parents prayed a lot, and I'll tell you that story when I speak on prayer. But, boy, if you judge them by certain standards, they were not, you know, the ideal parents. Not sure if anybody has the ideal parents. And God sometimes comes along and he saves people and he transforms them despite their background. Some of you may be adopted and you don't know who your parents are. Some of you perhaps have been conceived out of wedlock, and so you've wondered about your worth. I'm here today to tell you that there are all kinds of people like this that I've met throughout the years who are mighty warriors for God, because God's grace is greater than human failure and sin. Aren't you glad for that? Just think for a moment. Joseph is one man in the Old Testament about whom there is no sin recorded. I mean, if any kid was perfect, it was Joseph. He was a little unwise in sharing this dream with his brothers. He should have known that that wasn't going to go down very well. You know, I saw a dream, and in the dream, you guys bowed down to me. Oh, yeah. Oh, we're very happy to do that, Joseph. But you know who his father was. His father played favorites with him, all because the father loved that wife, because she was more beautiful than the other wife that he married. And so he loved these kids more than the others. Boy, is that ever sinful. That was the context. And by the way, this is a parenthesis. You're getting it all free today as part of the program. I just was so amused when I discovered this. You know, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, okay? Did you know that the ancestors of Jesus go back not to Rachel, but to Leah, the one who wasn't pretty? I love God. God just says to Fluey with all this business of who looks best, I'm going to choose the unloved one, and it is going to be through her that Judah will be born, and then eventually Jesus from that line. I can do whatever I like. I'm speaking on behalf of God when I say that, by the way. Just so that you understand. I just marvel at God. I shake my head and I say, wow. So here's Joseph brought up in that context, and he turned out pretty well, actually, betrayed by his brothers. I think, for example, of Moses, who was really reared by a woman who was a sun worshiper. She wasn't his mother, though his mother did have impact, because his mother was kind of the nurse that took care of Moses in his early years. He turned out pretty well, actually, considering the fact that he didn't have a stable family that he could depend on. And then there's that one in the Old Testament that I've often thought about, a man by the name of Ahaz, who was a wicked king. Not Ahab, he was wicked too, but I'm thinking of Ahaz. And the Bible says that he put up idols and did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he has a son by the name of Hezekiah. Hezekiah is a righteous king. He tears down the idols. There were some mistakes in his life, to be sure, but basically Hezekiah followed the Lord all the days of his life, the Bible tells us. And then, shock of all shocks, he has a son. And the son's name is Manasseh, and it says, and Manasseh did more evil in the sight of the Lord than all the others before him. How'd that happen? Was it Hezekiah's fault? To what extent was it his fault? I don't know. It's just that the grace of God sometimes comes along and converts and changes in the most unlikely places. And then in the middle of all of this grace, you also see the power of sin. I don't know what your background was. I don't know where you are coming from, but I do know this, that if you reach out to God, grace can fill your life, the grace of forgiveness, the grace of acceptance, the grace of transformation. God changes our hearts. You see, when we're converted, born again, there's actually something within us that wasn't there at the beginning. Because there's a new nature. There's something created there that is supernatural. And that's what gets to the very heart of our desires. In this message, I've played off this whole thing about grace and law. So I conclude with a story from Jesus. Jesus loved stories. He said that two men went into a temple to pray. The one said, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people, adulterers, fornications. I fast twice a week. The other man, you remember, wouldn't look up to God. He couldn't look God in the eye, so to speak. He was a publican. He was a sinner. He was an outcast. But the Bible says he smote his breast and just said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The Greek says, be propitiated to me, the sinner. Jesus said, which one do you think went home justified? You know, I can't help but think that today I'm speaking to two classes of people. In fact, I know I am in this large crowd and those who are listening by other means. I'm talking to the man who may be sitting there, arms folded, and saying, you know, this business of church and God and Jesus is good for women, children. I like the idea of giving my children some kind of a moral foundation. I don't need redemption. I've had a hard life and I've done well. I've worked hard. I've played by the rules. Then I can imagine somebody who's in the far country and who would say to me, Pastor, if you knew even what I did this past week, you'd know. God could never accept me. He's so mad at me. And I say that if you are willing to pray the prayer of the publican, God be propitiated to me, the sinner. God, No matter how high your standard is, it doesn't matter as long as you meet it for me. You set the standard, and then in Jesus, he meets it on my behalf so that I can freely be forgiven and to be received. That is the gospel. Luther put it very clearly and simply. Oh, Jesus, I am thy sin. Thou art my righteousness. Our great contribution to salvation is we bring our sin. His contribution is to take it from there and redeem us and forgive us and adopt rebels into his family and make them sons and daughters of the Almighty. That's what God does. And he'll do that for you if you believe on him. Would you find a child that you can pray for? I forgot to mention the assignment for this week, but it's in the bulletin. If you will, let us pray. Father, as this message has gone out, it's fallen into many, many hearts. Some open, some closed, some angry, some receptive. Oh, Father, the work of salvation is your work. At this point, we just back off and say we have nothing more to say. You have to bring conviction. You have to grant faith. You have to do everything from here on out. Before I close this prayer, no matter where you are, would you cry up to the Lord wherever you are and say, Jesus, I'm thy sin. You are my righteousness. I receive you now. I receive your grace. Father, we thank you that the work you've begun in us will be complete. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, today, if you've come to saving faith in Jesus Christ as a result of the ministry of Running to Win, would you let us know? We're so greatly encouraged when we hear from our listeners to know that we've been a blessing, to know that we've been a challenge to your life, because we exist to bring glory to God through the transformational power of his word in the lives of others. And I know that you support the ministry of Running to Win. The very fact that you have been listening, we appreciate your prayers so very, very much. And you know, this series of messages entitled Fighting for Your Family, I'm not sure that I've ever preached messages with greater passion, because our families are in trouble. And what I try to do is to deal with all of the big issues that families face today, whether or not it's entertainment, disobedient children, and you name it. Dave is going to be giving some information to all of you now so that these messages can be yours.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Pastor Lutzer wrapped up Children, God's Special Gift. Another message on fighting for your family. Next time on Running to Win, why internet pornography means there's an enemy inside your home. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Fighting for Your Family. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.